Well, hello, radio friends, and again I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is Minor Hawk, introducing you to another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel radio program. As most of you know, this program is a non-denominational broadcast of what is often referred to as old-fashioned gospel preaching. Now, I believe that it's unfortunate that preaching the gospel of God's grace should be referred to as old-fashioned, but the fact remains that it is. Not too many pastors today preach the fact that man is born in sin and chastened in iniquity. They don't very often tell their congregations that they have to repent of their sin and to be born again by the Spirit and Word of God. And friends, you know as well as I do that very few preachers and priests speak about the judgment of God which awaits those who die without having accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, in any case, this program of straightforward gospel preaching may not be too popular, but I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to tell it like it is, and thank God He's the only one I have to please. Yes, this program has been on the air continuously since March the 4th, 1956, and it is not sponsored by any church or denomination. And furthermore, in all these many years of broadcasting the gospel, I have never once begged for financial help in order to keep the program on the air. But I thank God for every blood-bought Christian who has been exercised by the Holy Spirit of God to support this program of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. I might add that I have never knowingly accepted financial help from those who have never been saved or born again. Remember this, sinner friend. God doesn't need your money, but God does want your soul. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, for His condescending grace, coming to where we were and finding us in all of our sin and degradation. We thank Thee, our God, for those of us who are saved. He has lifted us up into the heavenlies with Christ Jesus Himself. Father, we thank Thee for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for His death at Calvary, for the shedding of His precious blood, without which there can be no remission for sin. We pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune that I'm sure is familiar to all of you listening in, and it's entitled Amazing Grace. Today I want to direct your attention to three separate portions of the Word of God. The first is found in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. The second is found in the middle of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. And the final or third portion is found in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. First of all, in Genesis chapter 2, I'll begin reading at verse 15. Genesis 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Now then, for the second scripture, in the middle of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll begin reading at verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now for the third or final scripture in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, I believe that it's obvious to even the most casual listener that the portions of God's word which I've just read to you today each contain a word denoting the highest degree of certainty and assurance. And that word to which I refer is the word surely. Surely. Now, friends, I'm sure we've all experienced at some time in our life the bitter disappointment that follows the fact that we've been a victim of a falsehood. Yes, even those whom we may have considered our very best friends will, under certain conditions, distort the truth to satisfy their own selfish ends. Ah, but not so with the Holy God. No, no, not so with God. Now listen, friend. In all the history of mankind, not once do we know of God the Creator telling a lie. No, not once do we find an incident where God failed to keep his promise. And what's more, he never shall. Why, the very essence of God's character is one of absolute holiness, with a bitter hatred for sin. And so over in Romans 3 and 4, we're told that let God be true, and every man a liar. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, we read that it's impossible for God to lie. And in Titus 1 and verse 2, we're told, God cannot lie. Now then, what I'm leading up to is simply this. In Genesis 2 and verse 17, the very first book of the Bible, we find the first promise of God. Then over in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, in the middle of the Bible, we have a most important prophetic promise of God. And then finally, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, the last book of the Scriptures, we have the final promise in the Word of God. Now, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to bring before you some interesting and vital facts concerning these three promises. And in doing so, I trust that each and every one of you shall give heed to these three promises, which respectively bring before us man's ruin, God's remedy, and man's responsibility in view of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. First of all, we read over in Genesis chapter 2 some facts concerning man's being placed by God in the beautiful Garden of Eden. Yes, man was created pure and sinless from the hand of a holy God, and he was placed in an earthly paradise with all that he could possibly desire. And the only requirement imposed upon him by his Creator was the fact that he should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then comes the promise from God, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, friends, you'll notice that God is very clear in his promise. No room for mistakes or misunderstanding. He declares in all clarity and simplicity, thou shalt surely die. Now, I'm sure that most of you listening in today are familiar with the most important facts concerning what immediately followed this promise by God. Satan came onto the scene. He discredited and corrupted the Word of God. He beguiled Eve into eating the fruit and giving to Adam. And in one bold stroke of S-I-N, sin, mankind had fallen. Yes, man was ruined in the sight of a holy and righteous God. He had sinned against the God of all creation, and he had disobeyed the one in whose image he was formed. He was spiritually dead. And friend, from that moment, yes, from that moment on, his body began to die physically too. Something which was unknown before began to take place. The beautiful flowers, the plants, the bushes, and the trees began to die. And eventually the ground was cursed. And all because of S-I-N, sin. Friends, all that God required of mankind in order to have eternal life and communion with his Creator was simple obedience concerning the forbidden fruit. But man had other ideas, just like today, and he yielded to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And today, if a person is not saved through faith in Jesus Christ, he is spiritually dead, separated from God, and is but a short time away from the unavoidable physical death. Now perhaps someone is saying, well, just because Adam and Eve sinned and were spiritually dead is no reason for me to be spiritually dead also. Listen, friend, when our first parents succumbed to the lies of Satan, we fell right along with them, because we, being descendants of Adam and Eve, have inherited that same sinful nature. That's the reason we read those four sad words over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. In Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. And then God tells us in Romans 5 and 12, that wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, friend, the psalmist was right when he said that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And not only that, but because we are inheritors of a nature contrary to God, it becomes necessary for us to be regenerated by the Spirit of God if we ever expect to reach heaven. That's the reason that Jesus Christ told the religious Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and in verses 3, 5, and 7 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, whether you believe it or not, God's word declares that you're spiritually dead if you've never been born again through faith in the blood of Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the apostle Paul reminds the assembly at Ephesus, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now friends, let's just be honest with one another today, and let's just take God at his word. In the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, God says that the soul that sinneth it shall die. And Paul tells us in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death. Now God clearly and unreservedly declares that every one of us in our unconverted state is spiritually dead. And all this because of sin. Yes, our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. And we can only be brought back into a new and proper relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads us to our second text of assurance, and that's the one we read of over in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. There God tells us, surely He, meaning Jesus Christ, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did esteem Him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Friends, to a sinner like the speaker, those words are worth more than all the wealth in the world. And if I had no other claim today, I claim the fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for my sins on Calvary's cross. God says surely. And friend, if God says surely, that's good enough for me. Listen, sinner friends. God's word declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the reason is because if we're not saved, we're spiritually dead. Yes, we're spiritually dead. But you know, He didn't stop there. Oh no. He has provided the only sacrifice for our sins, and that in the person of His own dear Son. Yes, over 1900 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us back to God. And even though He Himself was sinless, He became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, sinner friend, would you like to be saved today? Then look to the Lamb of God. Would you like to know your sins forgiven? Then simply accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And over in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, God declares that His Son bear our sin in His own body on the tree. Then I think of that simple statement of fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now perhaps someone is saying, well, why did Christ die for me? Why didn't He let me remain spiritually dead? Friend, the answer is found in a little four-letter word, L-O-V-E, love. Yes, it's only the matchless and immeasurable love of God that makes salvation possible for you and I today. Because had we been left to ourselves and given our just reward, we would have been doomed and damned to an eternity in hell and the ultimate lake of fire. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Salvation can be ours today because of His love for sinners. In Romans 5 and 8 we read, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Then I'm sure you're all familiar with the best known verse in the Bible, John 3 and verse 16. There Jesus Christ Himself declares, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My, what a wonderful verse that is. "For God so loved the world." Sinner friend, you may not realize it, but God's Son loved you unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, and it was He who suffered, bled, and died, the cursed death of Calvary's cross, so that you and I could be saved. And even though you may be spiritually dead today, if you place your trust in His death, you can pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Over in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, "He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And furthermore, friend, Jesus Christ is the only means of securing everlasting life. In John 14 and verse 6, He's heard to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Again in Acts 4 and 12, the Apostle Peter declares, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And finally, Jesus Himself tells us in John 10 and 9, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Now listen, friend, if you're depending on anything apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, you're going to be in hell. After all, friend, if we could save our own souls by good works, church membership, religious rituals such as baptism, or even penance, then why did Jesus die? Why should He come from heaven and die the cruel and cursed death of the cross if we could save ourselves? No, my friend. God declares without the shedding of blood there's no remission for sin. So Jesus Christ had to die if we were to escape the judgment for sin. And when He cried out on the cross, "It is finished," He had completed the work which God had given Him to do, and He had satisfied all the claims of the Holy God against sin, your sin, and my sin too. But how about you, my friend? Have you ever seen Jesus Christ dying for your sins on the cross? Have you ever experienced the new birth? Can you recall a time when, a place where, and manner how you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? Can you honestly recall the Spirit of God convicting you of your lost condition? And if so, did you place your trust in Jesus Christ? Well, friend, if you can't recall the time when you experienced the new birth, then you're still on the broad road that leads to the flames of hell. Now, you may have forgotten whether or not it was Tuesday or Wednesday, or even whether it was July or August, but friend, if you're really born again, you'll never forget the time when you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. But friend, I want you to know that this is a day of salvation. Yes, you can be saved or born again right now. Whoever you are and wherever you may be, you can pass from death unto life by simply acknowledging before God that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. You can repent of your sin right now, acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and then with simple childlike faith, you can accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Well, that's salvation, friend, and it can be yours today without money and without price. But please, please don't put it off, because God's day of grace is quickly drawing to a close. And if you die without Christ, or if you're left behind when Jesus Christ comes again, it will mean weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth throughout the countless ages of all eternity. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, God warns, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again, we're told in Proverbs 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved or warned, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now then, this leads us to our third certainty of which we have read today, and that is the divine promise of Jesus Christ. Yes, the last recorded words of Jesus Christ, ere the Scriptures were completed, are these. Surely, surely I come quickly. My, what a blessed hope that is to those of us who are saved, just to know that someday soon, perhaps today, the heavens will be opened, and out will step the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to claim those for whom He died, coming to claim those who've accepted Him as their own and personal Savior. Yes, we have this blessed promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we begin reading at verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes, what a comfort it is for those of us who are saved. You Christian friends who may be listening in, isn't it nice to know that all this scene of sadness, this scene of sin and sickness, will soon be gone? Isn't it nice to know that Jesus Christ Himself is coming to take us home to heaven to be with Him? Yes, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, heartaches, no more living in a world of darkness. No, it won't be long now. He's coming soon, and we'll soon be with Him and like Him forevermore. Yes, and we'll spend all eternity singing unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own most precious blood. Yes, we have His promise, surely, I come quickly. And over in John 14 and verse 1, He tells us, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, friends, these precious words were written to the saved. But how about those who aren't saved? Those who've never accepted Christ as their Savior? Those who've never been saved and born again through faith in the blood of Christ? How about them? Friend, if you've never taken your place as a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner in God's sight, and if you've never accepted by faith alone Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, when the Lord comes, you'll be left behind for the eternal judgment of a holy God. But friends, this is still the day of God's grace. And thank God you can be saved today. Yes, if you'll simply come by faith to the foot of the cross, and if you'll plead from the depths of your heart for Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I'll guarantee you, you'll be saved right where you're at. He tells us, Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. So friend, whoever you are, and wherever you may be listening to this broadcast today, I plead with you in love for your soul. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Repent of your sin, and simply place yourself in the sight of a holy God as one who accepts Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Yes, believe with all your heart in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in Thy presence to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the grace of God expressed in Him, and we pray Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Even now, may there be men and women, boys and girls out in Radio Land accepting Thy Son as Savior and Lord. May it be so for His name's sake. Amen.
Savior, say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in Me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him my own. Had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
And when before the throne I stand,
friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.